Why do I feel like I'm either crushing it or completely burnt out? How am I supposed to balance all the hats I'm wearing in my business without getting completely overwhelmed? Why does it seem like I can't stick to a plan for more than a week before falling off the wagon? How come when I make time to create, I feel so uninspired, but every time I have a pile of admin tasks to do, my focus gets derailed by all the ideas, all the distractions? If you have asked yourself any of these questions, I want to reintroduce you to your menstrual cycle, your untapped internal guidance system for making CEO decisions and taking big, bold, and consistent action in your business. My name is Brianna Villegas, and I'm a certified menstrual cycle coach, and I help entrepreneurs to understand the unique strengths of each phase of their menstrual cycle and to harness those strengths in their business so they can optimize their energy and productivity all month long. So each week, I'll be sharing education and inspiration to help you connect the dots between your unique cycle and the patterns, habits, and systems in your business. So get ready to ditch the pressures of the 24-hour clock and start embracing cyclical. Welcome to my hormone rants. As we wrap up September and PCOS Awareness Month, I am sitting down with Lauren Allen, who is a certified nutrition coach specializing in women's hormonal health, particularly with women who have been diagnosed with PCOS, to talk about what it is, how to know if you have it, and what resources you have to actually start shifting your experience, shifting your symptoms, and actually get the relief that you're looking for and see results. And in today's episode, Lauren shares some of her story, how she was a sugar addict who learned how much power there was in eating foods that really supported her body thrive, particularly in her fertility journey, and is now on a mission to help women find a delicious way to balance their hormones without feeling deprived or restricted. And she coaches women privately and in groups to help them optimize their fertility, decrease period pain, boost their mood and energy, and feel empowered in their health journeys. So grab your notebooks and let's jump in. Hello, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm super excited about our conversation. I was saying before we started, we haven't talked about on the podcast yet PCOS, all its forms, all the ways it can show up. So I'm really excited to dive into what it is and where you can even start. So I'd love to start, though, learning a little bit more about your journey to this work, your why.
So my journey with PCOS and how I got into everything that I do, it started when I was trying to get pregnant. So even though I definitely had some red flag signs and symptoms of PCOS when I was a teenager, they weren't too bad. They weren't debilitating. I actually just didn't get a period so often. And I thought, that's awesome. Like, I'm so lucky. I don't have to deal with a period every month like all my friends. That was all good and fine until I was trying to get pregnant. And once I started trying to get pregnant, I realized that meant I wasn't ovulating regularly. And it was a very difficult journey to even get diagnosed. I know most people who are listening to this, they can't see me, but I've always been thin. I've always been at a healthy weight. So I kept going to the doctor and saying, you know, I'm not getting a period every month. It's more like every 2 or 3 months. Is that normal? They said, yeah, it's fine. You're a healthy weight. Everything's all good. Until we hit that 1 year mark, which is when I felt like I started getting taken a little more seriously that something was wrong. And then immediately I got my hormones tested. I got an ultrasound and they were like, oh, you are riddled with PCOS. And I was like, what's that? I didn't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. And my doctor basically told me, you know, it's okay. You're young and healthy otherwise, but you're not going to be able to get pregnant naturally. So, you know, we have a whole array of treatments that we can start off on. And they wanted to start me on ovulation inducing drugs like a Clomid or letrozole. And he just launches into explaining the whole fertility treatment process. And my head is spinning because I'm just like, what? Like, I have this thing. I've never thought of myself as someone who is sick or had any health issues. And it was really overwhelming just to get the diagnosis. But I felt like I almost didn't, no one really explained to me what PCOS was. It was more like, you have this, here's what we're going to do. So that was the plan. And I was getting ready to start treatments. But as these things go, you know, there's a lot of pieces that need to be taken care of. So the doctor wanted to run a bunch more tests and it had to be around my period. So it was looking like it would be another 3-month wait to start actually doing the treatments, which was so heartbreaking for me because at that point I was already at my wit's end. I was so heartbroken, just wanted to be a mom. So I started looking up things about PCOS and learning a little bit more about it. And I came across all this information about how diet can actually really help treat the root causes of PCOS and all these crazy stories of people who had, you know, made diet and lifestyle modifications and gotten pregnant naturally. And at that point in my life, I was so not into alternative, holistic anything. I was like, this sounds like voodoo, witchy magic, but you know what? I don't have an appointment for 2-3 months. So let me just try it. I should say also up until that point, I was a total sugar addict and I had a vegetable maybe like once every couple of months, but I really was not equipped in how to eat healthy. And I just really started making a lot of changes in my diet, including more whole foods and proteins and veggies and, you know, whole grains instead of just eating like cookies and cake and ice cream all the time. I did start to see changes in my cycle, but before that, I started noticing all these other changes. So I had always had eczema and my skin started getting much better. And I had always had insomnia and I started being able to go to sleep naturally without any melatonin or drugs for sleeping, which was crazy. Like to me, that was already life-changing enough. And then I started, you know, noticing my cycle was getting a little bit more regular. So it wasn't perfect, but I got into this range where it was like 36 days, mm-hmm. which after having a 90-day cycle, you know, that is really, really great. And I said, you know what? I have a feeling that like, this is just going well. My body's clearly responding to this. Let's push off the treatments for 1 month. Because at that point, I would have been able to go in and do it. But I said, let's just try one more time. And then we'll do it. And I ended up getting pregnant naturally that month with my daughter, who's almost 2 years old now, which is crazy. And then I started sharing about this because I said, I know I'm not the only one who is struggling to get pregnant. I knew I had a lot of friends in that, you know, time zone where they were family planning and, you know, who's not pregnant. And I don't know, there was just like, I had a feeling that this could help a lot of people. And I started sharing it and I shared my story on Instagram and people just reached out to me with so many questions and interests. And I was like, wow, people really need to know about this. So that really pushed me to get my certification. I got certified as a nutrition coach and I specialized in women's hormonal health and fertility. And ever since then, I've really been working with women who have a whole range of, you know, hormonal health issues, but mostly PCOS, mostly fertility minded. And I teach them how we can really every single day make choices with our diet and lifestyle that help you regulate your period and boost your egg quality. And I can't believe someone was able to look at my ovaries and tell me you're never going to get pregnant naturally. Cause I'm like, no, now I have twice. And women with PCOS should know that they have options, not just in terms of getting pregnant, but for really healing and really, you know, reducing a lot of their symptoms.
There's like a couple of things that stood out to me. Like one is like your experience with the medical process. And I know it's not one that's unique. Like so many women, you know, have these struggles getting a diagnosis or getting things taken seriously. And, you know, the other part in that I, you know, hear so often is a lot of women don't think about their periods, their cycles, like anything until they want to have a kid. And then it's like, they jump into this world of fertility and they're like, wait, all of the choices I've been making for the past, you know, decade or two were important for this goal. And how hard that is when it's like, I'm ready now. And you're telling me I have months, year long, you know, plus journey to be at a place where that's possible.
It's something I've thought about a lot, how, you know, just in terms of the way that most of the medical world views size and weight as, mm-hmm. you know, being a representative of how healthy someone is, I see how much it hurts people on both sides. Because the truth is, I work with women who are in bigger bodies and they're overweight. And usually they're just told, well, you can lose weight or you can go on metformin or take birth control. It's not like they're necessarily getting any better advice than right. I would. But I, at the same time, I hear all the time from women who are thin, well, I just thought I could eat whatever I want and it wouldn't have any effect on me because I didn't gain weight. And it was, mm-hmm. I did not have the understanding that I do now of how we are what we eat and our food affects our hormones and our cellular health so much. And again, it's beyond fertility because these things helped me with my anxiety and my skin and my sleep and just feeling good in my body. Because initially I thought I'm only going to do this until I get pregnant. Like, I don't want to be the girl eating salads and eating healthy. And then I was like, I actually love waking up in a body that feels really good and energized. And that's what pushed me to do this for the long term. Like, yes, of course, I knew I wanted to have more kids, but it was really about living in a body that just felt good.
That's the whole thing, right? Because there's so much pressure on like female bodies of like it's, or even like periods, that it's like it's just there if and or when, you know, you want to have a baby. And it's like, no, this is such a core part of how our bodies function and interacts with every other system in our body. And it's about how can you feel the best in your body and not just be given solutions like the pill or, you know, whatever to just like make it go away, or at least let allow you to ignore it until you can't anymore. And I think it's so important that we understand, and there's more awareness around like how much our cycle is showing us about our overall health, and it being an insight into what's going on underneath, both physically and emotionally. And that, you know, we don't just have to accept symptoms.
I completely agree.
There's that fertility component. And then beyond that, like, what are those initial signs that someone should be looking out for that might give them an indication that they should be looking into PCOS? And maybe even start with like, what is PCOS? What does that stand for? What are the markers?
Sure. So PCOS stands for polycystic ovary syndrome. And I always tell people it's kind of a funny diagnosis, because it's not something that you get tested for. You're either positive or negative. It's something that we've taken a collection of symptoms and we say, if you fall into these categories, if you hit 2 out of 3 of the following criteria, then you get diagnosed with PCOS. So those are, first of all, irregular periods or ovulation, having high levels of androgens, which are a type of sex hormones. It's things like testosterone, but there are a bunch of other androgens. And then also having actual follicular cysts on the ovaries. If you meet 2 out of those 3 criteria, you will get diagnosed with PCOS. But then there's a bunch of kind of like secondary symptoms that are often really common with PCOS, but it looks really different on everybody. So there's definitely a large population of women with PCOS who do struggle with weight, and they are overweight, but that's more like 70% of women with PCOS. It's not everybody. Especially women who have high levels of androgens, they often struggle with hair growth on their face, you know, especially in like the male places, like around their upper lip or, you know, on their chin. It almost can look like they have a beard. Some people also have hair loss on the top of their head in a male pattern baldness type of way. It's also really common that a lot of people struggle with blood sugar issues. And then that brings a whole host of symptoms with it, like fatigue, anxiety, mood swings, which are much harder to pin down and say like, oh, you're feeling extra tired, you might have PCOS. You know, there's a combination of symptoms out there, but the number one thing that most people could use as a red flag is the irregular periods. And I know that even that term irregular period, sometimes people will be kind of on the border. So they're like, oh, I get my period every 40 days, but it's every 40 days. That's regular. And the truth is, we know it's, you know, you might have subclinical PCOS. It might not be that it's so irregular that someone would diagnose you, but we know that really having a cycle within, you know, 26 to 35 days, that's like the more generous window I even like to give for conception. It's really best between 28 and 32 days. That's what we see in the research. So if you see that you're having an irregular cycle, especially not talking about once in a while, if you travel and skip a period, you know, that happens. But if you're for 3 months in a row having irregular cycles, that's the number one thing I would look out for and say, hey, let me ask my doctor about this. Let me ask about getting some hormones tested or ask them to check my ovaries, because you don't need to wait until you're in your reproductive years or you're trying to build a family to start dealing with those symptoms, especially when you have those really emotionally and sometimes physically painful symptoms.
I like how you're pointing out that idea of irregularity and also bringing in what your goals are, because yeah, like if you're trying to optimize for fertility, then, you know, there's a more defined window there and a more defined like optimal levels of estrogen and progesterone that you want happening, right? Whereas like if that's not your goal, like you can allow for a little bit more leeway and still be healthy and still feel good, even if it's not optimizing like that one goal.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, you know, our fertility is a measure of our overall health. So it's rare that someone tells me, well, I get a period every 40 days, but every other thing in my health and my body is like back and good and I'm feeling fine. There's usually some other symptoms that are coming up anyways. And a lot of times the same, you know, diet and lifestyle and supplement support that we can give your body will help with those as well.
One thing that I've heard with PCOS is that it's kind of broken down into four types that have slightly different root causes. Can you speak a little bit to like what those are and how they might look different?
This is something that some people use also to do like a further diagnostic place of starting. There's number one is the insulin resistance PCOS. Although the numbers of how many women with PCOS are insulin resistant is, you know, different reports will give us different numbers. I've seen numbers as low as 40% and as high as 90%. I typically see there is blood sugar dysregulation and some kind of insulin resistance with 95% of the women I work with. Mm-hmm. So I almost always err on the side of caution that we should treat people like they're insulin resistant and teach people how to balance their blood sugar, because that will always, always help. And what happens with insulin resistance is basically that you have high levels of insulin in the body, and that causes low levels of a protein called SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin. And I always say SHBG is kind of like a chaperone at a frat party, and testosterone is the frat boy. And if you have high SHBG, it's going to keep testosterone in check, keep it from getting out of control. But if you lose that chaperone, the frat boys go crazy and testosterone starts just going wild. And that's what's often happening with the insulin resistant PCOS. So we can also see a lot of those typical high androgen symptoms like the hair growth or the hair loss, acne, mood swings, low libido. A lot of those things are related. There's also something called adrenal PCOS, where it's thought to be caused by adrenal fatigue, and a lot of it has to do with stress. But again, there's, you know, I've treated very few women with PCOS who don't seem to have high levels of stress. Mm-hmm. So it's another thing that we bring in, you know, stress management and balancing your blood sugar often helps people feel less anxious. A third type is inflammatory PCOS, which again, we see levels of inflammation with all women who have PCOS. But one of the places to start there, it's really addressing these root causes of what's causing the inflammation. So for some people, that could be a gut health issue. For some people, that could be an autoimmune issue happening. There's also a really high comorbidity of thyroid disorders and PCOS. So oftentimes there are these different signs of inflammation that will look a little bit different than someone who has like a more simple case of PCOS. And then there's actually something called post-pill PCOS, which is really interesting, that it seems to be that some women trigger PCOS like symptoms because they went on the pill, or they only see it after the pill. Now, that's another tricky one, because especially nowadays we have women who are on the pill when they're 15 years old, and it could be for acne or for painful periods. And it's hard to know if they would have developed those symptoms anyways, and we just weren't seeing it because they were on the birth control pill, or it really was truly caused by the pill. Obviously, in that case, you know, getting off the pill is going to be one place to start. So you can start really looking at what a natural cycle looks like for your body, and getting your hormones tested once the hormones from the pill have, you know, left your system. But what I've seen, because I know people like to break it down into categories, and that can be helpful in some ways, is that overall addressing these things through a really healthy diet and lifestyle can be beneficial for multiple types of PCOS, especially the, you know, the high stress, the inflammation, and the imbalanced blood sugar, because a lot of times they're going together.
Yeah, no, I really like that breakdown, and thinking about it more as like as an entry point for what feels like the best place for you to start. But there's varying levels of all of these factors at play most of the time. Exactly. In everyone.
Exactly. And we do see that the inflammation that happens specifically in the ovarian cells, it could be caused by, you know, different types of inflammation, whether it's from the blood sugar, whether it's from, you know, food triggers that are inflammatory or food intolerances, it could be due to stress. So, you know, it's very challenging to go in and say, like, let's look at this ovarian cell and see why it's not properly producing progesterone and what is the cause. And to me, it's almost like it's less important to know exactly which type it is, but let's start addressing, you know, we could look at what people are doing with their diet and lifestyle and say, okay, well, you know, these are ways you could improve it. And then when they start seeing improvements, oh, my cycle, you know, this time was 40 days instead of 65 days. It's like, okay, well, we're seeing that balancing your blood sugar is having an effect. We're seeing that removing a lot of those inflammatory foods is having an effect. So that's more the approach that I take with my clients, but it can be helpful in some professionals like to break it down further into those categories.
So what do you find in your practice is like the best starting point?
Yeah. So if they're interested in making diet and lifestyle changes to help with PCOS, I really like to encourage people start with breakfast. It's not only a really great way to have a win early in your day and to start your day feeling good, but there's actually research showing that your breakfast that you eat with PCOS has a really great impact on your ovulation and your cycle regularity and your insulin resistance levels. Mm-hmm. So even if you're someone who's like, okay, I'm just going to focus on one meal a day to try to eat healthier, pick breakfast. It's going to be more significant if you do it with breakfast than doing it with dinner. It sets you up for a more stable blood sugar day. You're not going to have a crash earlier in the day and start having cravings. So it depends where a person is holding. Sometimes I work with people who call their breakfast coffee, mm-hmm. And that's all they're having in the morning. And that's really, you know, rough on our hormones. And sometimes I work with people who are having, you know, they'll have a few eggs, but I teach them you can, you know, make a more well-rounded meal by having, you know, some healthy fats and adding some fiber in there and trying to include more antioxidant rich fruits and veggies. So it depends where someone's starting place is. If someone, you know, comes to me and they're drinking a lot of alcohol and smoking, those are definitely things that we address right from the beginning because those are really exacerbating our hormonal issues. So it depends on where the person is, but starting with breakfast to me is a great, realistic, easy place to start that actually can have significant effects on you if you're doing it consistently.
I like this idea of like picking a meal and preferably breakfast to start with. And you mentioned including the different components, right? Like protein, healthy fat. What is your take on carbs with PCOS? Because I know that's like in mainstream, it's very common to be like, you need to cut carbs. So I want to hear your take on that.
So especially when people have insulin resistance, we do know that sugar and refined carbohydrates are fueling that insulin resistance. But what I really love teaching people is that it's not about cutting carbs. It's about picking your carbs in a much smarter way. So there's a really big difference in how your blood sugar reacts to something like sweet potato or buckwheat or lentils than potato chips or candy. And it's really making sure that you are including complex carbohydrates because those not only give us energy and make us feel good, they help fill us up. There's a lot of really nutrient-dense complex carbohydrates, but it's about focusing on those. And there's also actually been studies showing that women who just switch from the refined carbohydrates to complex carbohydrates, they see improvements in their ovulation and cycle regularity as well, even if they're not lowering the amount of carbohydrates. So mm-hmm. I know sometimes people like to get fixated on the numbers, especially things like calories or grams of sugar or carbohydrates. And sometimes they'll say like, well, I could pick up this, you know, healthy-ish bag of candy that has artificial sweeteners. So there's 0 calories and 0 grams of sugar. I'm like trying to explain to them, you know, it's much better for your blood sugar to include something like beans or lentils or butternut squash. That's also filled with nutrients that are really good overall for our hormone health and for our egg quality. So it's about picking the right carbohydrates. And for some people, yes, it is also about being mindful of the amount you're eating, because even with complex carbohydrates, you still could be having enough that could spike your blood sugar. I actually test my blood sugar pretty regularly because I like to see the effects of my food on my blood sugar. And if I have a meal with too many carbohydrates, even if it's super healthy, you know, lentils and beans and beets and buckwheat and quinoa and all this stuff, but it's in one bowl and in a huge serving size, it does spike my blood sugar quite high. So it is important to include them, but to do it mindfully. Mm-hmm. And we start with just choosing the, you know, the healthier, more complex carbs over the refined carbs.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful because there is always like balance with anything. Like if all you're eating is protein, like that's not, even if they're all healthy proteins or all healthy fats, like focusing on any one food group is not going to give you everything you need. But also like demonizing any one food group is also problematic. And I think like I spoke to this girl who got diagnosed with PCOS, and for her, it was really hard because she did like Olympic weightlifting, but then her doctor was like, you have to cut carbs. And so she like stopped Olympic weightlifting because she's like, I can't do it on this diet that I'm on. Like I don't have the energy and, you know, the things to like actually build muscle and for it to be healthy. And it was just like so heartbreaking to me because I was like, That's not the point. That's not what it should look like.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I'll give another tip for the audience because I think this is such a great one. even if you're going to have some refined carbohydrates, because nobody's perfect. And I always tell my clients, you don't have to eat perfectly. We want to aim for consistency. There's a lot of ways that you can balance your blood sugar and eat carbs in a smarter way. So one example of how you could balance your blood sugar is the order in which you eat your food. So if you eat your veggies first, and then your proteins and fats, and then your carbohydrates, you can reduce those blood sugar spikes by as much as 30%. So if you say, well, I really do want the piece of cake, or I really want the cookie or whatever it is, potato chips, you know, pick your favorite refined carbohydrate, having it after a meal as dessert when you've eaten those other more nutritious foods is one way to include it in a much more blood sugar friendly way, as opposed to just saying, no, I can never have that, and I don't allow myself to eat carbohydrates. There's definitely different ways to balance it, and there's ways to include all types of food that could just be a little bit more gentle on your blood sugar.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because when we talk about these like very physical solutions or physical problems, because it's something you can see on an ultrasound in many cases, we can often overlook like the emotional side of it. Like if you're so unhappy because you can't eat anything, because it's not just eating things. Sometimes it's your relationship with food, but it's also your relationship with others. Like if you're going to a birthday party, holidays, like you're in these spaces and you feel like everyone's here enjoying themselves and I can't participate. Like that's a huge factor in your body's like willingness to heal and not, you know, put up all of these defenses as well.
Absolutely. I was just talking about this with a client the other day who was saying, you know, I'm going out for my mom's birthday and we're going to this amazing Italian place. You know, how can I navigate that? And we talked about saying, you know, there's a difference between ordering the spaghetti with salmon and broccoli than just the spaghetti. And it doesn't have to be that you have to sit there and not eat, and nor should you. You should be able to live your life. But there are ways that you could make choices that are, again, going to be more blood sugar friendly. And another thing I also tell people is, depends on your lifestyle a little bit. Some people like to go out to eat all the time, and then we really do need to make adjustments. But if you're mostly eating homemade foods and healthy, balanced meals, one blood sugar spike once in a while, that's not what's causing PCOS. It's the daily habits. It's the daily sugary cereals for breakfast and sugary snacks and having multiple blood sugar spikes a day. So when we can really create a strong, consistent lifestyle around your most of the time habits, those once in a while outings become, you know, I don't want to say irrelevant, but they are not ruining all of the progress that someone's made.
Yeah, I love it. And so the last question I wanted to ask you was, I know this is one of those that's like hard to answer, but from your experience in working with your clients, like how soon did you start to feel a difference? Not necessarily that like your hormones testing or like everything was like everything's perfect or everything's like healthy now, but like in that, you know, you mentioned like eczema, you mentioned like anxiety and these other symptoms. When did you start to feel that difference show up?
It's a great question. So I started to notice differences in my energy levels and my skin just after about 3 weeks. Some people tell me they start feeling more energized the day they start eating healthier. Other people, it could take a month or 6 weeks. And in terms of actual changes in your hormones, regulating your cycle, that can typically take somewhere between 3 to 6 months. In terms of getting pregnant, especially depends how severe it is. Sometimes I do work with women who haven't had a period in 10, 15 years. That does usually take a longer time to recover. But everybody's body is so different. And it also depends on what else is going on in their life. I have some people who I work with who tell me they're taking a semester break from school, or they're taking time off from their job to really focus on healing and make sure they're not feeling stressed. And, you know, the other things that are going on in life, if someone's going through fertility treatments or there's other stressful situations with family or work, that can definitely impact how quickly your body's able to heal. So I would say it's somewhere between, you know, within 3 months, you could start noticing changes in like energy, skin, things like that. And more significant changes are more like 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, I always find that super helpful just to have some idea of like, okay, if I'm going to make this commitment to myself, like what am I looking out for and what am I noticing? So thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. You've shared so much good stuff with us. Let me know like where listeners can find you and find more resources.
Okay, sure. So you could find me. I hang out a lot on Instagram. I'm at Lauren Allen Nutrition. My website is also Lauren Allen Nutrition. I work with people one-on-one. I do some group coaching courses. I have some exciting things coming out in 2023, how I'm going to work with more people specifically who are interested in fertility. And so you can get all the updates on those pages. I also have a free ebook on how to boost your egg quality. It's 33 pages all you need to know about how to boost your egg quality if you are trying to get pregnant. So you can find that on my website as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Brianna.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want more great episodes like this one, subscribe on iTunes, follow on Spotify, or wherever you listen, and be sure to share with someone who could also benefit from this information. And if you want to learn more about how I can help you stop normalizing your symptoms and start optimizing your experience, head to briannavillegas.com or find me on Instagram at briannavillegascoaching.